This podcast was recorded Thursday, March 13th at 10:31 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like Canadians will like Americans again. Elbows down, please. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who tease us with a government shutdown and then avoid it at the last minute. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, remember that presidential physical fitness test? Well, of course you do. Well, it could be coming back to Ohio. But first, in case you were wondering,
the state of our state is strong.
Oh. Governor DeWine gave his State of the State address this week and said things are going pretty well.
We've hit the highest number of jobs ever in our state's history. We've added more than 81,000 private sector jobs and have nearly 5.7 million Ohioans right now employed in our workforce.
As State of the State speeches go, this was pretty much a repeat of last year's address. Solid, lots of cheerleading for how things are going, lots of programs to help children. But if you were looking for bold initiatives, you left disappointed. DeWine did reiterate his call for higher taxes on gambling and cigarettes, and he called for a child tax credit, but those things were already in his budget. As for the new stuff, the governor called for mandatory basic skills lessons in school, things like basic finance and first aid. And he wants to make students leave their phones at home.
The evidence is overwhelming. As I've said before, as an old prosecutor, the juries came back. There's a verdict. And so, my fellow citizens of Ohio, members of the General Assembly, it's time to finish the job and ban cell phones in all Ohio schools so kids can learn.
No talk of reducing or eliminating the state income tax. No talk of helping people cope with rising property taxes, something House Democratic leader Alison Russo is hoping for.
We have bipartisan solutions to address property taxes in both chambers that we could enact today. It is a choice that they have not been enacted, and Ohioans deserve better.
But the governor does want kindergartners to start learning about Ohio history. Joining me to break down the governor's State of the State address is Ohio Public Radio State House Bureau Chief Karen Kassler. Karen, welcome back to Snollygoster.
Hey, it's great to be here.
You have seen a lot of State of the State addresses. Where was this one on the boldness scale?
I've been doing this now for 21 years. My first big assignment was a State of the State speech. There were 2 years where Ohio didn't have a State of the State speech because of the pandemic. So this makes number 19 for me, I believe. And I've noticed that the speeches have gotten less bold over the years. I mean, you could argue that they really weren't all that bold to begin with anyway, because they are very structured and organized. Under former Governor John Kasich, they were a little less structured and organized.
Yes, they were.
A little more off the cuff, so to speak. But they really typically weren't speeches where there was a lot of big proposals that were unveiled. But there would usually be one or two interesting ideas that would come out. And in the last couple of speeches, there really haven't been those kinds of things. DeWine has really used the State of the State speech to reinforce his budget, to kind of talk about the things that he wants lawmakers to pay attention to in the budget. I think in this particular speech, it was interesting to note, he talked about the $1,000 tax credit for kids under 7, which would be funded by a significant increase in the cigarette tax. Lawmakers have been pretty cool on that. He didn't even call for them to pass it. He just mentioned it. So I think that he's really used the speech as more of an opportunity to kind of review what's been happening and then maybe drop a few things here. Shout out to a lot of people. We heard a lot of shout outs in the speech.
Yeah.
But not a whole lot of bold, brand new ideas coming out.
Yeah, it was just sort of quintessential Mike DeWine. Steady, strong, but nothing really to make anyone really mad, not even Democrats. You know, last year, I went back and looked at last year's State of the State, and one of his bold proposals was stiffening penalties for not wearing your seatbelt. A bill was filed, got two sponsors, but that's as far as it went. This year, one of his bold initiatives is first aid classes. So
yeah, the seatbelt thing I think was interesting for last year, because I think he brought that up because he knew that was not going to go anywhere. He knew that was dead on arrival, essentially, and it was. But I think he wanted the opportunity to at least talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so this may be what he's been doing in this speech, too, like I said, with the $1,000 tax credit, also with his sports betting tax doubling that would fund this sports facilities project fund. I mean, these are ideas that lawmakers have not exactly embraced, but DeWine feels very strongly about them. So I think he may be using this state of the state, this forum where he has the podium and he has the every eye looking at him, to talk about these things that he feels are important that he has a feeling are not going to go very far.
A lot of Republicans for years want the state to flatten, reduce, even eliminate the state's income tax. That was only barely mentioned in DeWine's speech. He certainly didn't call for eliminating or flattening the tax.
Well, DeWine has never, in this is his fourth budget, his last budget in office, he has never put forward an income tax cut. Income tax cuts have been part of the last, I think, like seven budgets. And they've always come from state lawmakers. Republican state lawmakers are the ones who've put those forward, not DeWine, and actually not former Governor John Kasich. DeWine said in the speech that Ohio's income tax rates are the lowest in 50 years. But he also said when he rolled out his budget last month that in his entire time as governor, no company, no corporation, none of the entities he's tried to bring to Ohio has said that there's a problem with Ohio's income tax rates. So I think he's stating pretty clearly that he doesn't believe that income tax rates are the problem, that there are other things that he'd like to see the state spend money on. And in fact, he's talked about tax increases, like we just said, on the cigarette tax increase to fund the child tax credit, on the sports gambling tax increase to fund the sports gambling or the sports projects fund.
Yeah. You know, another thing that we mentioned it earlier, Allison Russo talked about how she was hoping to see something on property tax relief. You know, property taxes, because home values have really increased pretty dramatically and fairly quickly, a lot of folks are seeing pretty steep increases in their property taxes. And then school levies and other levies get passed, which increase them even further. So the lawmakers seem to be getting a lot of calls about property taxes. And lawmakers want something to be done on that, but DeWine didn't address that at all.
Yeah, that was interesting that he really didn't address a lot of economic things regarding property taxes, individual level spending. He didn't go into those areas. Now, granted, it really is the legislature that can do something about property taxes. They've been talking about it for a while. There was a bipartisan joint committee that was formed last session that came up with all these recommendations, some of which are being proposed as legislation. But I think he's kind of leaving that perhaps in the legislature's court, though to mention it, to bring attention to it publicly was something that I think at least Democrats said they wanted to hear about. And it's something a lot of folks say that they want to hear about. One of the other things that we really didn't hear about was school funding, which, of course, is very closely tied to property taxes.
Yeah. And it's going to be an issue in the campaign for governor. Vivek Ramaswamy has proposed eliminating income and property taxes. He backed off the property taxes a little bit, but still it's going to be an issue in the upcoming governor's race. You know what? He's got 2 years left, basically. Why not take this chance to be bold, or is it he's a lame duck at this point, the governor is?
Well, I think he's realistic. If there's one thing that 40 plus years in politics probably taught him is that there are certain things that are just not going to happen. I think next year's speech would be the opportunity to really go all out because it would be his last speech. And we assume his last major speech as an office holder because we don't expect him to run for anything else. I mean, he's term limited as governor. He has already been attorney general. Like, I don't know that we would expect him to run for anything else. So that may be part of it. I think that, again, I think this speech was really more about drawing attention to the stuff that he really wants people to notice and know about his legacy. Because obviously, his legacy is going to be an issue perhaps next year for the speech. I mean, we'll know potentially by next year's State of the State, depending on when it is, who the candidates are going to be for at least the Republican primary.
Yep.
So we might have an idea of who wants to continue what Mike DeWine has started when it comes to things like workforce and children and families and some of the issues that he's really focused on and thinks are important.
There is new leadership in the House and Senate. Of course, Matt Huffman was a leader before, but now he's switched over to the House as the Speaker. He was Senate President. Are they on the same page this session, more so than the last session, the governor and the legislature?
Oh, yeah. I mean, House Speaker Matt Huffman and Senate President Rob McCauley both served in the Senate. It was pretty clear that McCauley was going to take over for Huffman when Huffman moved over to the House. And so, yeah, they are very similar, I think, in approach and style and the things that they feel are important to accomplish. So
are they on the same page as the governor?
Yeah. Oh, it's the same page as the governor. That I don't know that we're going to see that as much. I think that there is. You're already seeing it when it comes to the two tax increases that I've talked about, the cigarette tax and sports betting tax. The response has not been very positive, I guess, is the way that you would look at it if you were the governor, because there's a concern that those are going to be seen purely as tax increases without necessarily a benefit to them. Yeah. I mean, DeWine, and these are two areas that DeWine has really kind of pushed back on. He doesn't like smoking, has always put together policies that would try to reduce levels of smoking, especially among kids. And he's had pretty harsh things to say about sports gambling in Ohio ever since it started.
Yeah. We shall see. Hey, Karen, our engineer Dalton and I, we were talking about the history lessons for kindergartners, the Ohio history lessons. If you know, you're a parent. What should a kindergartner know about Ohio history? We were struggling with what is the quintessential moment, like in American history. It's, you know, the Revolutionary War. It's the Declaration of Independence. In Ohio, what is it?
I think the Battle of Toledo.
Where
we got rid of we fought Michigan. You know, that kind of sets the whole stage for Ohio versus Michigan. Maybe that's what you need to know.
Very.
So that's tough for
kindergartners, though, isn't it?
Well, hey, you know, start that Michigan hate early. I don't know. I'm also the proposal about the life skills thing is kind of interesting in here. That was one of the few new things he said. And that's another thing that when you start adding things into what kids are already learning, I mean, talking about adding history lessons for kindergarten, started to talk about adding, you know, first aid lessons for high schoolers or whatever.
Isn't that what Boy Scouts are for, first aid lessons?
Well, but I mean, it starts to get to the point where, okay, what is school? What are we trying to learn? Is there enough time in the school day? There is a bill that would actually extend the length of the school calendar. By whatever districts want to do. But it just really does bring up the question of what do you want your schools to do and what do you think that kids should be learning? Are they learning the things that you want to see them learn, or are there other things that you would also like to add? And if that's the case, are you willing to pay for that?
Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks, Karen. We appreciate it. You made the governor's State of the State speech more exciting than it was, probably. So we appreciate that.
I feel a sense of accomplishment.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
That was Karen Kassler, State House Bureau Chief for Ohio Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past 7 days. And this week, we give it to Lieutenant Governor Jim Tressel, who has got a pretty good and, should we say, pretty easy early assignment. He is to run a physical fitness program for Ohio students. The former OSU football coach will try to inspire Ohio kids to get in shape. Now, Ohio does have an obesity epidemic, but it's still a pretty nice gig for an ex-football coach. And you know what? I fully support it. In my day, we had the presidential physical fitness test. You know, I still have nightmares about that pull-up test. And kids these days should experience that same anxiety. And Jim Tressel is going to give it to them. So, Lieutenant Governor Tressel and his whistle, they get our Snollygoster of the Week award. Sorry about missing last week. As I mentioned, I was on vacation, and I promised the report on the Gulf of America. Flying over it, it looked a lot like the Gulf of Mexico. And the pilot, I should note, and I noted this, the pilot shrewdly stayed out of the debate and just told us passengers we would be flying over the Gulf. He could have gotten my Snollygoster of the Week award himself. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. And just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.